Amen. Always a good word of exhortation, to not forsake my Torah, do not forsake God's Word, and that's why every week we read the Torah, we read God's Word publicly, and in obedience to what Paul taught in the New Covenant, you know, we're to give public reading of Scripture, and so that's what we do every week. And so, in any case, we welcome everyone together today, and want especially a special welcome to Estella Strasser, who she finally made it here. She had a bit of a rough landing here in Calgary. She ended up in the hospital for at least a week or so. But she's recovering, and so just really glad that Estella could be with us, and all the way from Bolivia. Hopefully you'll be coming back home and staying here permanently, Lord willing. So that's our prayer. And for anyone else who's visiting, we want to welcome you to our service, and don't rush away after. You're welcome to join us downstairs. We have a special time called the Oneg, which means delighting in the Sabbath. We may finish our service here, but we meet downstairs and we have a time of fellowship and encourage each other. And so we welcome you to come downstairs after for that. Also, of course, this coming week we have a Wednesday night Bible study at quarter to seven. We continue our series through the Book of Revelation, so you're welcome to join us for that. And also, this I'm going to be talking about the Feast of Shavuot. It really was a huge success, and a really special thanks to everyone who served that day. Everyone did an amazing job, and your labor of love was much appreciated. Amen. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. This coming week, just in terms of what's happening this coming week, we'll be resurfacing the floor on the office side. You know, the carpet has really kind of fallen apart and is dirty and ever, so we felt the time has come for us to do that. So we'll be replacing it all with vinyl flooring. So we do need some strong men to come by tomorrow around noon to help move everything out of that room, out of three rooms downstairs, actually four, including the kitchen, and to move everything upstairs so they're going to be coming in and beginning the work on Tuesday till Thursday. So if we can have some men come and help with that tomorrow around noon, that would be greatly appreciated. Let's see. Also, we put together, we were asked if we would be willing to host a special Israel prayer watch, you know, this coming month of June. On June the 15th, we have the First Century Foundations, which is a ministry that we use to, you know, to support Israel. So we give a lot of our first fruits tithes to First Century Foundations in Toronto or Ontario, and then they distribute it to the various ministries in Israel. We've been doing this for a number of years. So they're planning a tour across Canada to raise more of awareness for Israel and to take a stand against anti-Semitism, and that's going to be on June the 15th. It's going to take the place of our citywide prayer for Israel. And so really, it would be great if our congregation could come and support this special time. There's been such an emphasis on prayer over the last, this past year, actually, and we just, you know, we talked about that a little bit. I'm going to give it a little bit of an Isaiah 62 update. But that's happening June the 15th at 7 p.m. here at Beth Shekinah. And we're hoping to see people from around the city come and be part of this time together. Also, I believe that Kim has, do you have a short announcement there? Or is that? Yeah, we'll announce it. You can maybe explain a little bit more on ONE, but we have an opportunity for you to come in. We really want to support Actions for Canada because they really do a good work. They're really trying to raise an awareness about a lot of the social issues that are facing our country, and so they have a special time that you're invited to come and be part of, and it depends on how many people come, whether we meet in the ONE room or in the other side there, but that's right. At what time? 4:30 or 5?
Yeah, starting at 4:30,
come at 4:30, starts at 5, and then stays at 6:30. Yeah, all right. Okay, great. Okay, well, you can maybe share a little bit more during the owning. That would be great. Okay. You know, a special thanks to everyone who gave the Shavuot offering. We had a nice offering, and it says in God's Word, good shall will come to those who are generous and freely lend. who conduct their off affairs with justice and integrity. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so, God, we just want to be, you know, it's always more blessed to give than to receive, and God really wants us to have generous hearts. But getting back to this Israel Prayer Watch, you know, we have some posters here. So if you want to invite, you know, this is an opportunity for you to reach out and invite some of your friends to come and be a part of this. You know, we know that as a Messianic community, part of our vision is to pray for the salvation of Israel and to pray against all that's happening against our Jewish friends today. So I really encourage you to make a special effort to reach out and invite others for that special evening on June the 15th. Okay, well, you know, now that Shavuot is officially over, where do we go from here? Well, we had an awesome Shavuot gathering, and I'm going to share about that in the context of the Holy Spirit special gifts and how we were called to serve. And that's really the basis of my message today, how we have been called to serve. And I was really impressed with our congregation, how we stepped up and we served with joyful hearts. It really was an encouragement to see that. But before I do that, let me just give a bit of an update on the Isaiah 62 fast. There was a 21-day commitment by millions of believers around the world who agreed to pray for Israel 1 hour a day for 21 days. And then on Shavuot, it's estimated, it's hard to know whether this was true or not, but it's estimated there's at least 100 million believers who are praying for Israel on the day of Shavuot, which is something that is unprecedented. We've never witnessed that before, so we know that we're living in very prophetic times. But with so many believers praying for Israel, you would expect that something would happen. Amen? We have to always pray with faith and expectation. And I believe the Spirit of God has an appointed time when He will reveal Himself in some awesome way. But there was a sign I heard of that did occur on Shavuot, and I did my due diligence on this to verify, but it rained in Jerusalem on the very day that they were gathering together to celebrate and to pray for Jerusalem. And, you know, in May, rainfall throughout Israel is almost non-existent because Israel's entering into the dry season that will last for about 5 to 6 months. But this was, I found this on an Israel weather report. It says, Israel is bracing for an unusually late spring storm that is expected to bring heavy rains to the southern part of the country over the next few days. The Israel police warned the public that the heavy rains are expected to cause, you know, flash flooding in a number of remote areas popular among hikers in the south, in the Dead Sea, and the Judean Desert region. So there was rain that fell in Jerusalem, and now they've kind of gone into a heat wave now. But you know, without rain in the scriptures, it refers to a blessing. And Hosea and Joel spoke about rain, and they compared it to the coming of the Messiah. You know, we sang that song, Come and Let Us Return to the Lord, in Hosea chapter 6. That's where it was taken from. And it says, Come, let us return to Adonai, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has smitten, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, and we will live in His presence. And so let us press on to know Adonai. That's our challenge. It's time for us to press on to know the Messiah. Because it says that let us know, let us press on to know Adonai. Like dawn, like the morning, His going forth is certain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth. So Messiah will come to us like the rain. And then Joel goes on to say in Joel chapter 2, Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains because He is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains. And so, you know, just as the outpouring of rain is a sign of God's blessing, I'm praying that we will begin to experience a spiritual outpouring of God's Spirit, a spiritual awakening. And God has an appointed time when He will reveal Himself, and that's what we pray. That in response to all these millions of believers who've been praying for Israel, I believe that God will respond in some way at His appointed time. And because the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Amen. So we need to keep praying. And you know, there's a real prayer movement happening around the world and in Canada here, as you know, this Israel Prayer Watch. It kind of came at a good time as well. And so I encourage you to continue to pray for Israel. Continue to use that, you know, scriptural prayer guide that we provided to give you some direction to help you to be more focused when you pray for Israel. And so my main message today, though, is to share how we have been called to serve. And so you already have the... I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to use a PowerPoint today, you know, to help illustrate my message. Hopefully it'll go well. And that's really... Everyone is called to serve. Everyone in this room. And this was... And I just want to kind of just really praise our congregation, you know, a little bit here. Because this was very apparent on Sunday when we gathered together in one accord to celebrate Shavuot. It was really a beautiful sunny day. God provided us with a great sunny day. And I was really impressed with how our congregation stepped up and served with such dedication. There were many who volunteered, you know, picked up other people, you know, to bring them to Camp Chestermere. Lunch and the barbecue was well organized. Thanks for Rowena and all, and the committee of ladies that were, you know, put together to really organize that special time. And I really appreciate the ladies who served the food. You served very well. And Andy and David and Jerry did a great job on the barbecue. You know, Maureen Zuckerman made over 200 hamburgers, at least 250 hamburgers. And they were delicious. And so we really appreciate all the hard work. Shoshana and Jan worked hard with the resource table. You know, all the shofars were sold and many other items. And the worship and the dance was really anointed. And we sensed God's presence as we gathered together to worship Him. And all the sound equipment and the technical setup was really flawless. You know, Linda worked very hard. Linda LaGrange and Tim worked, and Jen as well. But Linda in particular really worked with Michael, who's actually in the UK right now. So he spent a whole week, you know, preparing and helping put it all together. And then he went off to the UK for a family wedding or something. But the children and the youth had lots of fun activities. And there was 9 people that were immersed in water. We had a baby dedication, which we've never had before during Shavuot. So that was kind of unique. And the Shabbat messages were inspiring. We entered in service praying for Israel. Though I wish we would have had more opportunity to pray for Israel, because we were kind of in a bit of a limited time schedule with Camp Chestermere. We had to have our service by 4, but we had hoped to open it up and have prayer, you know, for have many people, others pray for Israel. But all in all, we had a great time together. It was very successful, and I was very encouraged with how our congregation served, and we're such good ambassadors. I've really seen how our congregation has matured over the years. And we have some amazing people in our congregation. And so I really appreciate that. And there's a scripture in the next slide there, you know, Jen, Hebrews 6. So for God is not unjust to forget your of love, which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. They do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Special thanks for Melissa that, you know, put these together. I went and I made my own PowerPoint and she changed it all, right? But I left it to her because she's kind of the professional. So she kind of made a good series of slides. But I really wanted to just emphasize how important it is that God does not forget your labor of love and how you ministered in His name to the saints. You know, we must always remember what Paul said in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord rather than to men. Knowing that it is from the Lord that you receive the reward of your inheritance, it's the Lord Yeshua whom we serve. He's the one that we really serve. And so this is really what I want to speak on today, that we've been given gifts to serve and encourage you and we encourage you to continue to serve with God's glory. And that's really, you know, we've just come out of Shavuot. The whole emphasis is on the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and so forth. So I really want to focus on that today. But in the context of serving, and there may be those who may be not using their gifts for whatever reason, but that you would be willing to step forward and say, Hineni, here am I, use me. God wants each one of us to be actively involved in serving in His kingdom. Let me just begin with an illustration. I've shared this before, but it's really a good one. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini willed his marvelous and very expensive violin into the city of Genoa on condition that it must never be played. The wood of such an instrument, when used regularly, wears only slightly, but when it is set aside and not used, it begins to deteriorate. Over time, Paganini's lovely violin became warmly eaten and useless, a useless instrument, and it ended up as a relic, unusable. And so also as believers, our unwillingness to serve and be used by Adonai and use our giftings will diminish our ability and make us ineffective. And God wants us to be effective. He wants us to serve with diligence because God has given each one of us a gift. And so this morning I would like to challenge us with two things. Number one, every believer has received a gift from God, which he is responsible to use for the glory of God, for the strengthening of their community, and for the building up of the body of Messiah. Because that's really what God gives us, gifts to help build up the body, to equip the body, to strengthen the body. And secondly, there are important reasons why we should want to use these gifts of God. And the primary purpose is to serve Him, to serve Adonai. We've been called to serve because even Yeshua said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. The King of the universe emptied Himself of all of His glory and His omnipotent power, and He came to this earth and took on the form of flesh. And He served this world. He gave His very life in service to all those who are willing to believe in Him. So it's time for us to return the favor, amen, and to serve our King. And so this next slide is from 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Jin's right on top of things, I see. It says, the end of all things is near. And Peter said this 2,000 years ago. But remember, the Lord says a day is as 1,000 years. But in any case, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with strength that God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. And I want to just read one other scripture, but it's not a PowerPoint, but I really wanted to just share. It's found in Romans 12. It says in verse 4 of Romans 12, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Messiah, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let it govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do cheerfully. The scriptures say that each one of us have received a gift for the purpose of ministering and serving in the kingdom of God. Yeshua is our King, and we are His servants, and servants serve in the kingdom. And so our responsibility as good stewards to exercise the gifts entrusted to us. And God designed our bodies and our mind and our gifts to be used to build up His kingdom. That we are created for a purpose, to serve for His glory. You know, before the architect designs a building, they must first determine its purpose and how it will be used. And the intended purpose will always determine the type of building that will be designed. Adonai is the master architect because He created us. He decided what role and function we would have in this life. He planned exactly how He wanted us to serve Him and how He formed and shaped us with unique gifts and talents, abilities and personalities to be used for His kingdom purposes. We are who we are because we were designed and created for a specific purpose and function as long as we are in relationship with Him, because we'll never really know what our purpose is unless we are a child of God, and then God can begin to reveal His purpose to us. But look, there's this slide here, Genesis 1:27. It says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. This was God's created order. And yet today, I wanted to emphasize that scripture, because today we're witnessing the insanity of how many are trying to redefine a man and a woman. There are only two genders God created, male and female. Even to discuss that seems beyond belief. I mean, why would even 5-10 years ago, there was never even an issue. But in the last few years, it's become an issue. People even, you ask a person, well, who's a woman, who's a man? Some people, they don't even know how to define a woman or a man. And the thing that's interesting is that not only has man redefined the covenant of marriage so that two men or two women can be married legally, now men and women are trying to change their gender. Males are transitioning into a woman, and women are transitioning to become a man. See, Satan is a master of deception. And he's created a spirit of confusion and delusion in the world today. He's blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not know the truth of the gospel and of God's plan. And that, the thing is that he's targeting the next generation. He's targeting the younger generation. There seems to be an obsession of focusing on children today. Marketing products to children, entertainment to children, using schools to target children. Parents have the right to protect their children from all the sexualization that's going on in schools today, and many are being denied that right. See, our children need to be left alone. Just leave our children alone and allow them to be kids and to grow up healthy and determine their own course in life. Amen? Young people today are struggling with their identity. They're trying to figure out who they are. And sadly, Satan is using this to his advantage to confuse them and lead them down a very dangerous path. So there are many today who cannot accept the fact that God had a reason in creating them male and female. In the scripture in Psalms 139, which we've heard read many times, it says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was skillfully made in secret in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. The days were fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Your eyes have seen my formless substance. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." And so, I mean, that's amazing that God knew us before the foundation of the world. We are fashioned and formed in our womb just the way that God created us. None of us are the product of an assembly line. We weren't mass-produced without creative thought. Each one of us were custom-designed. One of a kind. We are an original masterpiece. There's no one like us anywhere in the world. There's no one like you anywhere else in the world. You're unique. So none of us are clones of one another, even though we're twins. I know we have twin boys, grandchildren, and they're totally opposite. Even though they're twins, they're totally opposite. And we all know that children in the same home, brought up in the same family, can all express their personality and their temperaments differently. But each one has your own unique gender, personality, gifts, talents that God designed. And so after God skillfully formed and shaped us according to his divine purpose, even before the foundation of the world, we look at the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I appointed you as a prophet of nations. So even before Jeremiah was even born, God chose Jeremiah to become a prophet to Israel. But then, Jeremiah was just a young man, a young person, when God called him. And he said, oh Lord God, I do not know how to speak, for I am just a youth. And the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So that was God's promise to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he felt inadequate and unqualified, just as many of us do. But Lord promised that he would be with him wherever he went. And God promises that to us as well. Lord is challenging each one of us. Don't say I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have any gifts or abilities to offer. Why would God want to use me? We are created to serve him and to live for his glory. Now, I've shared part of my testimony before, but as a young person, I struggled with my identity. I was really going through an identity crisis. I didn't get involved in all the drugs and all the different things that young people get involved in. Mine was an internal identity crisis that I was going through. I was frustrated. I was discouraged. I was very unhappy with my life and where I was going because I didn't know why I was here and what I was going to do with my life. As many young people today, they don't really understand what they're going to do with their life. And so that led me on a search for meaning and purpose. And it led me to Yeshua, my Messiah. And when I finally decided to give my life to him, he supernaturally changed me from the inside out. And I was never the same person again. I was a very young, insecure, and very introverted young person. And so I could identify in some way with Jeremiah. I'm so young, I didn't know. I don't even know how to speak. But yet, many years later, God called me into ministry. And I discovered that my birth parasha is Vayikra, which means, and he called. Leviticus 1-5. And so I know that my life, I now live my life with 100% confidence that God called me to serve him as a messianic shepherd. And this has given me incredible purpose, meaning, and direction in my life. When you know that you've been called, and you know what that purpose is, it gives you tremendous purpose and meaning and direction in your life. So each one of us have been called. We have been given gifts and talents and abilities to use in serving God in his kingdom. This next slide in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Describes how the Holy Spirit distributes gifts to his people according to his purpose. And that each one of us have a gift and a calling to serve him. It says here, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women, of course. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, the word of knowledge. The same Spirit gives a great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. And the next slide there. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, the work in miracles. Another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern. The discerning of spirits, where a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, that's the discerning of spirits. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages or tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. But it's one and the same Spirit who distributes to all these gifts, because he alone decides which gift each person should have. He formed us in our womb, and he gave us gifts and talents. And our responsibility, if we don't know what our gifts are, is to discover what that gift is. So I really want to encourage you, I know that there's many gifts here today that are very obvious, and you've been doing a great job in exercising those gifts, and that's really good. But there's some that may be not sure exactly what their gifts might be. So I really want to encourage you that God has given each one of us a gift. If you're not sure what it is, I would ask you, you would just pray and ask Him to show you. But I want to kind of share some practical, helpful ways we can discover what our gift might be. And let me share some practical steps. And it's actually taken from our foundation course, which we need to have another foundation course coming up. But we have a whole section on the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. But there's a part of that that helps us to discover what our spiritual gifts might be. So first of all, test yourself to determine the area of service Lord may be calling you to, and ask yourself these questions. What areas of ministry do I feel most concerned or burdened for? We all have burdens. We all have concerns that really kind of drive us and motivate us. Which burdens have stood the test of time? Some burdens will just continue to stay with you, and a true spiritual gift develops over a period of time. And then be open to be trained under someone who's mature in the area of gifting that you may believe that you may have. Now, I know that Michael Webb has done a great job in mentoring a number of people in our congregation area of worship and all the technical side. And so be willing to be trained and equipped, to do what God, if you believe that God may be calling you to do. And also, let's see here. I think we missed a slide there. Is there one that was before that one, Jen? No? Okay, keep going, the next one. Okay, maybe go back to that one then. Okay. Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So there has to be a desire in our hearts to really want to have a spiritual gift. And there's in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about the manifestation gifts. There are actually 9 manifestation gifts. And our ability to minister to any one of these gifts is dependent upon our desire. And we need to cultivate a genuine desire for spiritual gifts by praying and seeking God. And I encourage you to study passages of Scripture on spiritual gifts. We have many resources even on our website that will help you to discover what your gift might be. But it's important to commit yourself to a local body, because spiritual gifts are given to build up a body of believers. And your gift will become more discernible as you commit yourself to a congregation. That's why we really need, dedication and commitment are really important in being part of a congregation. If there's not faithfulness, dedication, and commitment, then the congregation will not really function as well as it would otherwise. And there's also a greater opportunity to exercise your gifts and develop them when you commit yourself to congregation, because other people can recognize what your gifts might be. But then in just terms of point number 4, where the already born fruit can be an indication where your gift might be, and sometimes others will notice what you may be gifted in. And that's part of my responsibility as a shepherd. When I see people coming and wanting to be involved, I kind of observe them and I talk to them and I discern what their gift might be. Some gifts are a lot more obvious than others. When people have a heart to serve, you don't really have to tell them what to do. They just see that there's a need and they just begin to work on that and they begin to serve with a joyful heart. And some are gifted in singing and worship. And there's so many different areas that people can be gifted in. And so it's really my role as a leader to help you discover what your gift is, so that God can begin to use you, because you'll feel a lot more fulfilled and give you a lot more purpose in your life if you know that you are doing what God's called you to do. You're operating within the gift that God has given to you. But the bottom line of operating in the gifts of the Spirit is that we've been called to serve. And this should be part of our spiritual DNA. An important incentive for stirring up our gift is Yeshua's example and what He taught. Servanthood is a path to greatness. Not that we're all seeking to be great, But Yeshua was the ultimate servant of servants. And he provided an example for us to follow. I believe there's a scripture in Mark 10. If you can move ahead there. Yes. It says, Yeshua called them to him and said to them, you know what those who consider rulers, who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, lorded over them? And the great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must first be your servant, must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So whoever wants to be great among us must first be a servant. But he never stopped serving. You know, even in the role of a shepherd, I never stopped serving. You know, I have no issue in cutting grass or cleaning the toilets or whatever. I mean, when you're a servant, you're a servant. You know, and we're all working together. The disciples were marked by their humility and of service, not by wanting to lord it over those whom they were responsible for. Ministry among God's people should be characterized by serving one another and acting for their best interests. 2 Corinthians 4. Is there one on that one? Not yet. Okay. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Yeshua, the Messiah, as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Yeshua's sake. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Yeshua, the Messiah, as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Yeshua's sake. When Paul uses gifts in ministering the Messianic community, he said that he became their servant for Yeshua's sake. And so when we serve the right with the right heart attitude, Yeshua gets the glory. Because that's what we want. We want him to get the glory. So Yeshua said, whoever would be great among you must first be a servant. There's some scriptures here on how we're called to serve. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. For consider what great things he's done for you. God has done so much for us. You know, God did so much for me when I first came to faith. He began to answer all my questions. He filled me with meaning and purpose in my life. So I wanted to return the favor, and that's why God called me into ministry so I could serve him and to give my life as a living offering to him. He says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. In John 12:26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor us if we have a servant heart. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. And then this last one, Mark 9:35. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all. And there's so many scriptures in the New Covenant that talks about serving. You know, that it would be worth your time to take some time and study through the scriptures, look up the word serving on the concordance, and just look at all the scriptures that God calls us to be servants for him. And there's some interesting quotes here I just thought were quite interesting. There's three quotes here. As God's children, we are not to be observers in the Lord's work. Spectators sit and watch, but we're called to use our spiritual gifts and serve continually. So God does not want us to be spectators, observers. He wants us to be involved in his kingdom purposes. Amen. And yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. I thought that was kind of interesting, hey? Yesterday's history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. So God wants us to operate in the present moment. And then one last one. Learn to follow counsel, serve faithfully, and magnify your calling, for God's kingdom is a kingdom of order. God is not a kingdom of a God of confusion. He's a God of order. He wants things done orderly. Even gifts are to operate in an orderly way within a body of Messiah. I just want to kind of close with one scripture from Ephesians 4. And this is one of my scriptures I love to read and study and meditate upon. It's really a beautiful scripture. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captive the captives. And he gave gifts to his people. When Yeshua ascended to the Father on the 40th day, 10 days later, he sent his Holy Spirit. And he gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Messiah also descended to our lowly world. You know, most translations say to lower parts of the earth or to lower regions of the earth. And so there are many who interpret that to mean when Yeshua died, he went to hell for those 3 days. He went to lower parts of the earth. And I totally disagree with that. You know, Yeshua did not go to hell after he died. You know, when it says lower parts of the earth, he came down to this earth as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came to this lowly world. He took on the form of a bondservant. And so the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so he might be fill the entire universe with himself, because God is omnipresent. And then here we see, now these are the gifts Messiah gave to the Messianic community. First of all, this is called the fivefold ministry gifts. He gave apostles and prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the work of ministry to help build up the body of Messiah. So that this will continue until we all come to unity, to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we'll be mature in the Lord and measure up the full and complete standard of Messiah. So God wants us to be mature. That's how we grow in our faith. Is by exercising a gift, by being a part of a body, Messiah, using our gifts in the body, and helps to build up the body, helps to equip the body for the work of ministry, so that we'll no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine or teaching, and we'll not be influenced when people try to deceive us with their lies and their deception. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, and grow in every way more and more like the Messiah, because that's our purpose, is to become more like Yeshua, because he is our head. He's the head of the Messianic community. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, but what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes growth of the body for the building above itself in love. And so as each person does its part in contributing to the work of the kingdom, as we all do our part, it helps to build the whole body and helps us to be unified, grows us in our faith, we become mature, and that God can accomplish his purpose in our lives. So I really encourage you to really take some time, you know, to really pray and to seek the Lord if you're not sure what your gift is. And really, we want to provide opportunity for you to exercise the gift that God has given to you. And so we just want to, let me just pray and ask God to challenge us. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we are filled and empowered with your Holy Spirit. And we pray, God, that you will give us wisdom. Lord God, for those who may not know what their spiritual gift is or not operating their gift, Father, that you would give them opportunity. Father, we pray that as a congregation, thank you for all the many gifted men and women that you've raised up in Beth Shekinah and how many are using their gifts to bring glory and honor to your name. Father, we pray that we would be open to your Holy Spirit, Father, to raise up many others who would be able to step into their role and that they would be willing to say, Lord God, use me. I want to be used by you, Father. And so, God, I thank you, God, for your love for each one of us. Thank you for how we are growing together as a congregation, as a community. And we pray that we would continue to walk in unity of heart and purpose. They would seek your will. Lord, thank you that you have given each one of us unique gifts and talents and abilities that we can use them for your kingdom. And so we thank you, God, for your love for us. And we just pray that you would challenge us to go deeper in these coming weeks and months. Lord, begin to raise up men and women in this congregation who begin to use their gifts, Father, for your glory. And so they can begin to feel that they're part of what you're doing today in the whole Messianic movement, that we are a growing movement. And you're raising up men and women today to be leaders and to really equip one another to do the work of ministry. And so we thank you, Father. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen.